Cause when I'm with you, Lord, always leaves me wanting. He's a praise you can dwell within. Come again, come again. Let the glory in. I'm open, I'm open. Come again, let the glory in. I'm open, I'm open.
I'll wait for you to come.
Where you wanna live, it's where you wanna be. You wanna dwell right here with me. It's not a building you wanna fill, it's my heart. This empty space is what you wanted all along. It's not a building you wanna fill, it's my heart. This empty space is what you wanted all along, yeah. It's not a building you want to fill, it's my heart, yeah. This empty space is what you wanted all along, yeah. It's not a building you want to fill, it's my heart.
just when I don't have enough of you.
You love when I'm in.
When I don't have anything else to lean on.
When
I don't have anything else to lean on.
You love when I'm empty.
You love when I'm empty.
When
I don't know the answers,
you love.
When I don't have the solution,
you love.
You love when I'm empty. Cause you do miracles with.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Rise Up here on LFATV, rumble.com/LFATV. Click that Rumble button as you see right there on your page. Look at this glorious, magnificent view behind me. Is God not great? I mean, talk about a masterpiece. The world literally idolizes people like Da Vinci and Michelangelo and all these great artists who painted all these wonderful things. But I mean, ladies and gentlemen, is that not the greatest painting of all time? Every day when you wake up and you open up your window and you look out and you see the sun and you see the sky and you see the birds and you hear the birds, and you walk outside, and you smell the beautiful fresh air. Is that not the most amazing painting, the most amazing setting that God literally wrote us into and placed us inside this living, breathing, beautiful painting that God does for us? And it's ever so changing. We have the dawn. We have the day. We have the night. We have the, you know what I mean? We have all of this beautiful scenery to look at all around us. And it's not only the scenery that's beautiful all around us. There are beautiful, wonderful people all around us too. Now, you log on every day and you watch the current events and the news that's going on around the world. And 9 times out of 10, you feel, this is it. The rapture must be happening any day now. And who knows if it is? Who knows if it isn't? Only God, not even the Son, not the Holy Spirit, only God, the Godhead, 3 in 1. Now, when you go outside, you go to the store, you might see evil everywhere. You might see sinful acts everywhere. You might see people down and out everywhere. Sadness, anguish, anguish and depression and stress everywhere. Godlessness everywhere. But you know, if you actually look and seek, you'll find goodness everywhere too. There's genuine goodness in the world every time you go outside. And not just in what you see, in people too. And I think we just got to look for it. Because God says, if you seek, you will find. If we seek God, we find. God answers all of our questions and concerns. So why don't we go out and look for the good in people when there's so many out there doing good? We definitely should. We definitely should. There's also a lot of people out there that say this: I'm too far gone. I am too far gone. I'm already destined for hell anyway. God's never going to accept me now. I've already done so much wrong. There's no saving me. Wow. What an incredibly heartbreaking realization that you must have to come to say that. I think that compares with and aligns with people who feel like they would be better off and the people that are around them would be better off if they were dead and they commit suicide. There's no saving me. How many times have you said that? How many times have you heard somebody say that? I'm too far gone. I'm already going to hell anyway. I've already got a mansion in hell waiting for me. No, you don't. Hell isn't sinning and loving it and pleasing the flesh. That's here. That is what happens here in the flesh. You sin, you please your flesh, you feel good about it. Yay, you move on to the next day, not knowing that you're actually storing up for yourself an incredibly, incredibly bad time for eternity. So a lot of people have this skewed idea that hell is just a place where they can go on listening to, you know, secular rock and roll, hip-hop music, rap music, drinking, drugging, having sex, running all around, driving fast, mansions, cars, money. No, 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 no. There will be no pleasing of anything when that time comes. So today, we're here to talk about those people. The no hope people. Jess says, the other I've heard is that God's lets too many bad things happen and they have a hard time believing that a God allows cancer, etc., etc., etc. Well, that's when we explain to them the fall. That's when we explain to them sin introduced to this world. That's when we explain to them. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like this. If you and your family are sleeping, mom, dad, kids, and people break into the house and hold your mom and your dad at gunpoint, tie them up, and do horrible things to, let's say, the daughters that live in that house. Would the daughters of that house say, if my dad was better, none of this would have ever happened to me? If my dad was really the protector of this house, he would have protected me. If my father was stronger, or maybe not such of a deep sleeper, he would have woke up and he would have stopped these men from coming in and doing what they did to me and maybe my mother. I blame all of this on my father for not protecting me in this home. Imagine that. Imagine that. Everybody's very quick to blame the higher power that they don't believe in or yell at him when things go wrong because they just don't know. When Jesus said, forgive them, Lord, they know not what they do. That wasn't just a message to you and I on how to treat non-believers. He was genuinely asking God to forgive them because they don't know. And majority of the world doesn't know because school is taking God out of everything. Workplace is taking God out of everything. The only place where God is alive, I mean, you know what I mean by that, according to society, is your homes nowadays and your churches. And barely that. And barely your churches. So when they don't know, when they've not been taught, when they are ignorant, of course we want them to know. We want them to learn. So we ask God to forgive them because they don't know what they do. So when people are asking you, well, if God is all good and God is not that and this is that and that, if he's all powerful, then why would he allow this and why would he allow that? You've got to educate them as to why this is happening. Joe Paul says, it's just a way for man to pout and make excuses. We've all been there, but once you make any real effort to start, you'll see he has a plan for all of us and how precious free will truly is. You're 100% right, but we've got to lead them there. We've got to show them that. We've got to at least bring them that. That's called the good news. That's called the good news. But remember, most people on this earth blame somebody else for their problems. Look at the Generation Z. Look at Alpha Generation. They blame everything else on somebody else. Everything on somebody else. They don't want to take responsibility for their actions. So it's easier to blame somebody else, right? But I'm talking about those people that just go, well, it's not that I do or don't believe. I'm too far. If God is real, I'm too far gone. Ashley, you can share a Facebook link in the comment section down below, okay? All links go, unless they're LFA related, go in the comment section below. That way people can go and click them if they feel like they want to. Today we're going to be focusing on those people. The I'm too far gone. I'm already going to hell anyway. Now, it doesn't have to be people who are showing you how sad they are. It could be people who love the life that they're in, love the partying that they're in. Yeah, there could be a God, but oh well, I'm partying, man. I'm having a blast, and I'm already heading to hell anyway. So, you know, if he forgives me, he forgives me. If not, he's not. Those are low-hanging fruit people, folks. They really are. And we're going to talk about them today while referencing a few verses, if you don't mind. But now, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, today on this Monday morning, we gather back together, fellowship for you, for your Son, for our Holy Spirit that you give to guide us. We just want to give thanks for that. We want to acknowledge that. And we want to ask you, Lord, for wisdom. We want to ask you for all the wisdom that you can give us, that we can handle, to help people understand that the lives that they are living and the choices that they are making will hurt them forever. And Lord, please give us the ability to do that without making people think that we are better than them. Lord, help us find the words. Holy Spirit, help us find the words straight from you that we can use and customize to each and every individual so that they will listen, so that they will be apt to understand and hopefully apply some of these things that you bring through us for them to their lives. Why? Ray Comfort always says, examine my motives. Why would I be doing this other than the fact that I love you? I mean, if you tell somebody that, how can they be mad at you? Why would I be doing this? I'm getting no money out of this. I'm gaining no like stripes or medals from this. I'm doing this because I love you. And that, Lord, that is the message. That's how we need to bring the word and this and the good news to people. It's by customizing and basically breaking it down in common sense. And Lord, today we ask that you give us what is needed to seek these people out since they're not seeking you. Seek them out. Bring the good news to them so that they can flourish and so they can understand what it is to be a follower of Christ. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, I have a lot of this in my life, believe it or not. I have a lot of people that I know that say, oh, I'm already too far gone anyway. Doesn't matter. I'm already far too gone. And when I hear that, and then in the same day or the same week or even in the same conversation sometimes, I see these people showing Christianity to people around them, and they don't even know it. Showing humbleness, showing gratitude and thankfulness, showing the nine fruits or some, at least some of, the nine fruits of the Spirit. And I say to myself, how can you in one sentence say, I'm too far gone for any God or any of your Jesus? Although it'd be nice, But I'm telling you, I'm going, if there is a hell, I'm going there. And I've got my room paid for, and I got my trip booked. I'm heading there. And then I watched him help a homeless person or donate to a homeless person. Or then I watched him load something up in somebody's car for them, like at Home Depot or at the gas station or at the grocery store, like an old person. I see them hold the door open for somebody and say, have a great day. And I see these fruits and I have to say to them, where do you think that you're getting this from? Oh, this is the answer that you'll always get was how I was raised. This is just society. This is what you learn in school, blah, blah, blah. Well, where do you think you learned that from? Like a lot of it comes right from here, right from your heart, right from your conscience, because God wrote his good news, his word on your heart. But all of that, society as a whole is the way it is in this country based on the life, the trials, the teachings, and the experiences of Jesus Christ. Like it or not, that's the way it is. We are a Judeo-Christian nation. Like it or not, those are the facts, folks. And all you have to do is go back in a little thing called the history books to figure that out. The Bible was the main guideline for the Constitution. The Bible was the main guideline. Thank you for the $10 donation, U.S. Navy Mom. God bless you too. We appreciate you. The Bible was the guideline for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, our entire way of life, society, freedom, a constitutional republic with forms of democracy. Yes, all that comes from where? The Bible. Everybody having a God-given right to have freedom to choose and pursue life, liberty, and happiness. That all comes from Jesus. Holding your hand on the Bible, swearing to tell the truth in court. In God we trust, on our money, in every one of our institutions, until recently when they tried to take it off. Ladies and gentlemen, they are doing actions of Christ. All of these people who say they're atheists, agnostics, all these people who just don't care because they say, if there is a hell, I'm going anyway. I'm too far gone. They're all showing beautiful and wonderful fruits of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ every day. And they don't even know it. And if you make them aware of it and ask them where that comes from, they wouldn't be able to tell you. Oh, it's just society. No, it's not. You are living proof that Jesus' words and the good that is in you comes from him. And like I said, if you don't believe me, trace the history books back as to where we got our society today. Why we live in a world that we live in today. Why America worked. The great experiment. Why it worked. It all worked because of the teachings of Jesus Christ. Not because of the teachings of Copernicus. Not because of the teachings of people that work in astrology. Not because of the teachings of the great leaders or Rome. I hear this thing all the time. How often do you think about Rome? Never. Never. My wife says, you never think about Rome. I said, the word Rome only comes to mind if I'm watching gladiator movies or talking about the persecution of Jesus. I don't care about Rome. I don't care a thing about Rome. And I don't ever think about Rome. And my wife says, that's where you're wrong. Everything you do today, everything has something that can be traced back to Rome. And you want to know something? She was right. Wives are usually right, folks. So once you figure that out, your life will be a little easier. My wife was right. I would say a majority of the things that I do a day, or the majority of the way we live here in America today, is because of something that happened in Rome. And I hated the fact that she was right, but she was right. Well, I can apply that same comparison to Jesus. I really can. Everything that you do and everywhere you look, you are a product of Jesus Christ, whether you like it or whether you don't. So you're already halfway there, I tell people. Now we just got to push you over the edge and put that blindfold on and take that step of faith. No, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. Yeah, you do. Trust me. Trust me. I want to go to the verse of the day today. For all of those who got their newsletters this morning, please open your verses of the day today, because we're going to talk about, I actually have a few different verses that actually really embody today's message, but I'm going to start with what I sent in the verse of the day first, okay? And that is James 4:8. For all those out there, for all your friends and family and acquaintances that say, I'm too far gone, there's no saving me, because I know you've heard it. This is for them. You ready? And it's about as simple as it gets. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, what I like about that, if we can go back to the description of today's show, is this verse is candid. It gets right to the heart of things. There's no messing around with this verse. Like I said, it gets right to the heart of things. God's word is very, 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 very simple to understand. He's not trying to mince his words in any way, shape, or form. I'm going to pull up the verse of the day here. Just had to do an authentication to get back into it. And I'm going to read for you what I wrote. I didn't write much. I didn't write much in my description of today's show. Or my explaining of today's show, I should say. But what I did write has to do with just that, being candid. It says, draw near. Well, how do you do that? He tells you with his words in the Bible how you draw near. That Bible, that book, is God's love letter to you. The Old Testament tells us of God's promise to destroy death and have a newly signed covenant with you to bring you back to heaven. And the New Testament tells us how he did it. And it's all a love letter. That's what it is. So when it says draw near to God and he'll draw near to you, there you go. Draw near to God means just reading your Bibles constantly. Cleanse your hands. Well, how do you do that? Simple. Take everything that you're doing right now that is not righteous and not of God, and you only know that because you read it in the Bible, and work on cutting it out of your life. It doesn't happen overnight, but work on cutting that thing out of your life. That's how you cleanse your hands, all right? He doesn't expect perfection, not from you anyway. He expected perfection from his son and got that. Always remember that. What is being double-minded? Well, it means to play the hypocrite. That's what double-minded means. It's like doing drugs in front of your kids and telling them while you're doing the drugs not to do drugs. Don't do that. There are 1,000 excuses not to turn to Jesus. But the one I see most is, it doesn't matter, I'm too far gone anyway. And that is nonsense. And today we're going to talk about it. So when you type in, come as you are in the Bible, there are so many verses that talk about coming to Jesus, coming to God, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter who you are. Let's go to Matthew 11:27-11:30. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. And those who come to the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How about John 6:63 through 65. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit of life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and which would betray. He went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. How about this? Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, which is what color? Red. They shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. This is God saying, whatever it is you are, whatever it is you've done, whoever you think you are, whatever other people see you as, whatever reputation you've had, however fat you are, however skinny you are, however tall or short you are, doesn't matter the color of your skin, no matter what nation you're from. These verses that I'm reading to you are proving that you are never too far gone. Isaiah 55:1-3 pretty much lays it out too. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. This is meaning, come, whoever you are, whatever situation you find yourself in, and I will make whatever wrong is right. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what is not going to satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. Mark 10:13-16. People are bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Everything that I'm reading is talking about God saying, come to me, but do it through Jesus, but come. Come rich, come poor, come deaf, come blind, come dumb, come smart. It doesn't matter. Come white, come black, come fat, come skinny. Come to me, and I will give you, or I will turn what you bring to me into good. I will make bad things righteous. In the name of my son Christ. And the Holy Spirit I leave with you to guide you while Christ is absent right now, making a place for you to come to. That's the good news. The good news is you're not too far gone. The good news is there isn't a place reserved for you in hell. As a matter of fact, there is a place reserved for you in heaven. And all you have to do is go find Jesus in order to get there. That's it. That's all you have to do. People say, well, how do I get there? Just go find Jesus. That's it. Where is he? Play hide and seek. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Ready or not, Jesus, here I come. And go find him. Go seek him. Come as you are. You're never too far gone. Nobody that you know is ever too far gone. Nothing that they've done in their past is going to prevent them from having a relationship with Jesus in their future or in their present. Best news ever, says Jump Off. It sure is. It sure is. Would you rather have somebody knock on your door with a big check from, you know, megabucks saying, you just won $1 billion, or have somebody knock on your door and it's an angel that says, your name is in the book of heaven? Amazing. God just wants to tell you he loves you. Which knock would you rather get? And don't lie, because I know which knock I'd rather get. You know what I mean? I know which knock I'd rather get. Let's read from some devotionals here. 1 minute prayer for dads. Facing our fears. Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. What's the first part of that again? I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. I seeked out the Lord. I went and looked for the Lord. I asked for the Lord. I cried out to the Lord. I prayed to the Lord. I sought comfort, advice, anything from the Lord. God saves us from all our fears, dad-related fears included. But it takes seeking the Lord for that to happen. When we seek, he answers and he delivers. That's his promise. That's the good news. Lord God, thank you for delivering me from all my fears, past, present, and future. I acknowledge my present fear of fill in the blank and trust you to bring deliverance. I pray that I might even become bold through the power of the Holy Spirit in the face of my deepest fears, particularly fears concerning my children, my most valued possessions. Wait a minute now. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. The world would tell you don't own your kid. The world would tell you that your child is not a possession of yours. The world will lie to you and tell you that that child belongs to the state first. No, 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 no. See, that child belongs to God first. That child has been put in your care like a babysitter. You are responsible for that child. Hence, that child is in your possession, and you are responsible. I pray for the boldness for them too, Lord. May they slay every source of fear that comes their way. Invest in them, Lord. Oh, Lord, through the presence of the Holy Spirit in their young lives, Father, deliver me from all my fears. Be strong in me today. Those people that say, I've already got a place in hell, I'm too far gone, there's weakness in them. There is weakness in them. Weakness that they don't even want to look in the mirror and acknowledge what they've done. That's weakness. They're fearful of how weak they are. They're fearful of consequences for their actions. But what they don't know is that God will forgive them. So they've got nothing to fear. Walking with God. Proverbs 20:24. The Lord directs our steps, so why try to understand everything along the way? If God is real, why does he do this? If God is all powerful, then why does he allow that? If God did this, then why that? If those people did this, then how come that? Chill. As the youngsters would say, bruh, chill. Walking in the Spirit is like being a football running back. There's an overall play to direct you, but the real yardage is gained by dashing through the open spaces. The Spirit of God shows us those spaces. Some look like 350-pound obstacles to us, but not to God. He sees the block coming. Our job is simply to put our weight into it and go. This is where we often miss God and find ourselves stuck in the middle of a row of religion. Didn't Jesus say, I only do what I see my Father doing? Wasn't it Jesus who urged his followers to wait for the Holy Spirit who will guide them into all things? Jesus isn't looking for faithful churchgoers. Isn't that what that song said in the beginning of today's show? I'm not here to fill a building. I'm here to fill your heart. I don't want a building filled. I want your heart filled. I don't want these four walls filled. I want your heart filled with the word of God. That's what it says right here. Jesus isn't looking for faithful churchgoers. He's looking for copycats. He wants folks like you and me who will simply do what our Father is doing, just like Jesus did. He showed by example. Be a copycat today. I want to say hello to Bad Moon. It's nice to have you back, my brother. I hope things are going for you. We prayed for you while you were gone. We talked about you every day, Shane. We love you, man, and we're glad you're back here. God bless you, brother. Now, belonging. You want to talk about belonging? I'm too far gone. Is that another way of saying I don't belong in heaven? I don't belong in salvation? I don't belong in a place where I'm showing mercy and grace? Well, I beg to differ. In Revelation 14:13, then I heard a voice from heaven saying, write these words. From now on, those who are dead, who died belonging to the Lord, will be happy. Wow. Mark 9:41. For truly I say to you, whoever gives a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. When the Lord said he has engraved us on the palm of his hands, he was telling us that he remembers us. All day, every day, he remembers us. We are of utmost importance to him. We cannot be forgotten. If you don't belong somewhere, you've been forgotten. God hasn't forgotten you, so you belong. Father, thank you that through Christ you have brought me to yourself. You reign over my life and you always remember me. You want to know something? Getting a little bit worked up there. I thank God all the time for wanting me. And I know that sounds whatever. But I got to tell you something, folks. I was born into a family that disowned my mother because she had a baby with somebody that was in a family that they thought was a horrible family, right? My grandfather was extremely bigoted and extremely racist, my mother's father. He didn't die that way, but that's the way he was throughout his life. And my mother was disowned at the age of 18 when she had me because my family didn't want me. My family didn't want my mother because my mother had me with a guy that they thought was the worst person on earth. So they didn't want me when I was born. My mom didn't want me when I reached the age of 13. She said, you're now a teenager, leave. And I left my mom's house and I went to go live with my dad. My dad said, nope, you're not living with me. And I had to live with my grandmother. And that's how I ended up with no oversight and going to prison. When I got out of prison, nobody wanted me to parole to their home. Everybody denied parole to their home. I would have gotten out sooner, probably. Nobody wanted me then. The only one who's ever wanted me is God. I wish I'd have known that back then. So when I thank God for wanting me, I bawl my eyes out. Because I can't ever imagine not wanting my kids. I could never imagine that. So I do always, always say thank you to God and Jesus for wanting me all the time. And I'm grateful. I really am. Anyway, time to watch some videos, right? On this beautiful Monday morning. Remember, if you don't feel wanted, you feel like you're too far gone, God always wants you, and you're never too far gone for him. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday, so that means it's time to be comfortable with some Ray Comfort. Here we go.
Christianity, and it didn't work.
If it's a boring interview, we won't use it, but I think it's going to be very colorful.
Like 4 minutes.
Do you think Noah's Ark really happened, literally?
I'm on the fence, but I do believe it happened.
They did find something that resembles the Lost Ark. There's got to be some truth to that.
I really just don't know. I believed in it for a long time. I was raised a Christian, and I had a very firm belief in Noah's Ark. But over time, I've kind of lost the belief that it actually happened.
70% of the Earth is covered in water. Where did that come from?
Yeah, so I actually have investigated as an engineer and a physicist the way the Earth was formed over the years, over the many billions of years. That's what I believe.
Where do you think all the water came from?
And the Earth had different phases where it was covered in ice and covered in water. It's really just been an evolutionary development of the planet.
See, my agenda wouldn't be to convince you Noah's Ark really happened. That's a wrong avenue to take. My agenda would be to convince you that you're in terrible danger. I'm talking about when you die, you have to face God. Yeah. Are you a good person?
I don't necessarily believe in God. I'm agnostic.
Do you believe the Bible?
Oh, I do.
So what's going to happen to you when you die? Where are you going, heaven or hell?
Hopefully heaven.
You're not sure?
I believe I'm a good person.
I tried it. I believed I was a Christian for almost 30 years. And for me, it really just didn't have a message that helped me or made sense for me.
Do you think I can give you scientific proof of God's existence in 30 seconds?
No.
Okay, let's give it a try. Are you open?
30 seconds. You got 30
okay.
seconds, then I got to go.
Okay. The building is proof of the builder. The builder could have died 30 years ago, but you know there was a builder because the building's built. They don't build themselves. The painting is proof of the painter. Paintings can't paint themselves. The painter could have died 500 years ago, but you would be so foolish to say the painting painted itself. And creation is evidence of the creator. It's scientifically impossible for nature to have made itself.
Like 4 minutes.
I was aware that Darren had only given me 4 minutes, and I wanted to make sure he heard the biblical gospel. He intuitively knows God exists. You can see his head unconsciously nodding in affirmation. And creation is evidence of the creator. It's scientifically impossible for nature to have made itself. But there's evidence of God. He demands morality. You've got a conscience. You know right from wrong. And Jesus said, if you look at a woman and lust for her, you commit adultery in your heart. That's the standard God's going to judge us with, and that's why you need a savior. You need to trust in Jesus, put your faith in him, not your goodness, because hell is a reality, and I don't want to see you there, man. I want to see you in heaven. That was more than 30 seconds. You were very
yes.
gracious. You're very kind. Thank you for listening.
I appreciate your perspective, for sure.
Make sure you watch until the end, because I'm going to do something sneaky to Darren. You may think it was a little unethical. I don't. Let me know your thoughts in the comments. So how do you know if you're a good person? Let me give you a couple of questions to see. How many lies have you told in your life?
Probably countless.
Ever stolen something?
Yes.
Ever used God's name in vain?
Absolutely.
That's using God's name as a cuss word when it's holy. One to go, and I appreciate your honesty. Jesus said, whoever looks at a woman and lusts for her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Oh, heck yeah. You should see my neighbor. So, yeah.
Have you had sex before marriage?
Yeah.
So, Brian, here's a quick summation of your court case on Judgment Day. You've just told me you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, fornicating adulterer at heart, and you're self-righteous and saying you're a good person when you're not. You're like the rest of us. If he judges you by those 10 commandments, are you going to
I'm done.
Would you go to heaven or hell?
Probably hell.
That horrifies
me,
Frank.
The coolest people are down in hell. So
Frank, there's no pleasure in hell, and it horrifies me. I've just met you, but I love you. I don't want you to end up in hell. I want to see you in heaven. And this is your life we're talking about. It's not funny. This is serious.
I'm going to be human. We make mistakes as humans.
That's true. Well, the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no blasphemer, no adulterer, no fornicator will inherit God's kingdom. So how can you be saved from hell?
Oh, just be a good person. Be good to other humans.
Too late. You need something else. Do you know what you need?
No, tell me what I need.
You need to trust in Jesus. He's the Savior. He died on the cross for our sins. Now, Brian, most people know that, but they don't know this. And if you can get a grip of this, it's going to change everything for you. The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke God's law. Jesus paid the fine. That's what happened on that cross. That's why he said, it is finished, just before he died. He was saying paid in full. If you're in court and you've got speeding fines, a judge will let you go if someone pays those fines. He'll say, you're out of here, and it's legal, even though you're guilty. You walk. Well, God can take the death sentence off you. Legally, he can let you live forever because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. And all you have to do, according to the Bible, to find everlasting life is repent of your sins and trust in Jesus. Not because you're good, but because he's good and kind and rich in mercy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, makes sense. I'm a God-fearing, God-loving human that makes mistakes, goes to church.
Are you Catholic?
I am a Catholic.
Well, you need to be born again, Brian. Repent and trust alone in Jesus. Don't trust your goodness. And if you fear God, you'll depart from your sins and put your trust entirely in Jesus, not in yourself. Can you hear what I'm saying?
I can.
In the Noah flood, which you said you believe in, you know why God destroyed the earth except for 8 people? It says because the imagination of their hearts was continually evil. And we've got sexual imaginations that are evil that God sees, and we store up his wrath. But he's rich in mercy. He'll forgive every sin you've ever committed if you'll simply humble yourself, repent, and trust in Jesus. Because Jesus said, many on the day of judgment will cry out, Lord, Lord, and you'll say, depart from me, you worker of lawlessness, I never knew you. So you've got to be born again. That's not being sprinkled. It's when you turn from sin and God gives you a new heart with new desires, and you'll have a knowledge you've passed from death to life and that you've got eternal life, all because of God's amazing grace. Can I give you a book I've written called Scientific Facts in the Bible?
Sure. I'll take it.
Let me grab it for you.
You wrote this book?
Yeah. So you're going to think about what we talked about?
Yeah, for sure. I'm a big reader, so I'll definitely give it a read.
Nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you, too.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
See you, ladies and gentlemen. The way Ray does things is so beautiful to watch. The way he talks to people, the way he never does anything different, but yet he customizes his conversation with everybody he talks to. Yeah, he brings up the same stuff, like, once he's in it, like, have you lied? Have you stolen? What do you call a liar? What do you call a cheater? What do you call a thief? Or a person who steals, all that. But in order to get to that point, he must do something. You know what I mean? Folks, I have 3 other quick video shorts to show you. And I would like you to, I'd like you to thank God in heaven for this. This is beautiful. Bishop Marie Emmanuel is back, ladies and gentlemen, preaching after an assassination attempt on his life. And I want you to hear what he says. If you think you're too far gone, the guy that tried to kill him 2 weeks ago and had a smile on his face doing it out of hatred for him and for God. And I want you to hear what Bishop Emmanuel says about him if you think that you or anyone you know is too far gone. Go ahead and roll this.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. This young man who did this act almost 2 weeks ago, I say to you, my dear, you are my son. And you will always be my son. I will always pray for you. I'll always wish you nothing but the best. I pray that my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to enlighten your heart, enlighten your soul, your entire being, to realize, my dear, there is only one God who art in heaven, the creator of all mankind and everything else that is visible and invisible. And I say with absolute love, confidence, and humility, that God is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. But you are my son, my dear. And the Lord knows it is coming from the bottom of my heart. I'll always pray for you. And for whoever was in this act, in the name of my Jesus, I forgive you. I love you. And I will always pray for you.
Wow. Wow. If the guy that tried to kill him isn't too far gone, then neither are you. Then neither are you. Now I want you to hear what this young lady says to these table of strippers and prostitutes on the Whatever podcast about Jesus.
To Christianity and Buddhism right now, there's a lot of evidence that Jesus is God and that his claims are true and the things he says about himself are true.
Heaps of evidence.
Just looking at the Bible, there are 73 books that were written over the course of 1500 years in 3 different continents by over 40 authors. Some of them lived in different generations and didn't have any contact with each other whatsoever, yet they came together to form this one congruent story. Jesus has fulfilled over 300 Old Testament messianic prophecies, and the probability, since you said you're more scientifically minded, of somebody fulfilling even 8 messianic prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 17th power, which is 1 with 17 zeros behind it. If you were able to fill up coins on the ground, you would fill up the state of Texas 2 feet deep. 48 prophecies is 1 in 10 to the 157th power. So if you lined up electrons, it would take you 19 million years to count all of those electrons. Basically to say it's humanly impossible, statistically impossible for anybody to fulfill those prophecies, yet Jesus did. Jesus fulfilled over 300.
Wow. I do have to bring it back to dating here, that but Jess, impressive. To get back.
Are you an atheist?
Now, exactly. Those numbers, statistically, impossible, folks. That's what I love about math, real math. Not Common Core math, but real math. Anyway, on our way out, let's read something, okay? Sowing seeds of kindness. Good deeds have a way of coming back to bless us. John Wooden, the great basketball coach of UCLA, was admired for his inspirational influence on players and fans alike. His life was shaped by a 7-point creed his father had given upon him upon graduating from grammar school. Be true to yourself. Make each day your masterpiece. Help others. Drink deeply from God's book, especially, or from good books, especially the Bible. Make friendship a fine art. Build a shelter against a rainy day. Pray for guidance and give thanks for your blessings every single day. When we are kind to others and practice a merciful attitude, we become recipients of mercy ourselves. Such as the sower reaps the crop he's sown, so do merciful people reap what has been planted in the lives of others. I love you guys. Mike Crispy and Unafraid starts right now. I pray that you guys have a great morning. I love you all. Remember, Rise Up is every morning, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Hope you join us. See you later, folks.